Good morning. The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the May 7, 2025 meeting of the Budget and Finance Committee. I'm Supervisor Connie Chan, Chair of the Committee, and I'm joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Matt Dorsey and Member Joel Ingardio. Our clerk is Brent Halipa. I would like to thank Kalina Mendoza from SFGO TV for broadcasting this meeting. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a friendly reminder to those in attendance to please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices to prevent interruptions to our proceedings. Should you have any documents to be included as part of the file, these should be submitted to myself, the clerk. Public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on the west side of the chamber to your right, my left, along those curtains. And while not required to provide public comment, we do invite you to fill out a comment card and leave them on the tray by the television to your left by the doors if you wish to be accurately recorded for the minutes. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Budget and Finance Committee Clerk, at brent.jalipa@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be forwarded to the supervisors and also included as part of the official file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. Postal Service to our office in City Hall at 1 Dr. Carlton Bigelow Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. And finally, Madam Chair, items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of May 13th, unless otherwise stated. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk and colleagues. I think that today we have a pretty straightforward agenda, so let's call item number one.
Yes, item number one is a resolution approving modification number two to a contract with Hallmark Aviation Services LP for airport information and guest assistance services to extend the term for 1 year for a total term of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2026, and increase the contract amount by approximately $10.7 million for a new contract amount not to exceed approximately $20 million pursuant to the charter. Madam Chair.
Thank you, and today we have SFO.
Good morning, Supervisors. Deanna Volek with SFO. The proposed resolution would approve the second modification to an existing contract between the airport and Hallmark to exercise the first of 3 1-year options to extend the contract from July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2026, and increase the contract not to exceed amount by $10.7 million for airport information and guest services. The original contract was the result of a competitive request for proposals process. This modification will allow Hallmark and its local business enterprise subcontractor, Polaris, to continue to perform essential guest service work at SFO, such as line management in the international arrivals area, wayfinding, and information desk operations. In 2024, staff assisted 2.6 million guests at 16 information desks. The contract employs individuals with diverse backgrounds, nearly all being bilingual at minimum, and a reflection of San Francisco's welcoming spirit. The BLA has recommended approval, and I am here with my colleagues from Guest Services to answer any questions. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
The proposed resolution would approve an amendment to an existing contract between the airport and Hallmark Aviation Services to extend the term by 1 year and increase the not-to-exceed amount by $10.7 million. Hallmark staff assists international arrivals passengers through federal inspection services, and Polaris, a local business enterprise subcontractor, staffs the airport's information desks. There was a competitive process to select the vendor. Exhibit 1 and page 5 shows the basis of the not-to-exceed amount, which is funded by airport operating revenues. The second year of the budget is increasing to reflect increased hourly rates for Hallmark staff, as well as an 8.5% increase in budgeted positions to provide additional support during construction projects. We recommend approval of item one.
Thank you. I do view this for the airport as essential, having welcoming staff, having bilingual or multilingual staff for international airport. So I don't have any other question. Thank you so much for the work. And let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, we now invite members of the public who have joined us today who wish to address this committee regarding this item number one. Now is your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comment, public comment is now closed. And with that, Colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Mr. Clerk, please call item number two.
Yes, item number two is a resolution approving an agreement for the sale of an approximately 5.5 thousand square foot vacant lot of city property to the adjacent property owner, Bayview McKinnon LLC, for $375,000, finding city's property to be exempt surplus land under California Government Code, and to authorize the director of property to enter into amendments or modifications to the agreement that not materially increase the obligations nor liabilities to the city and are necessary to effectuate the purposes of the agreement or this resolution. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And today we have the real estate division here.
Good morning, Chair Chan, Supervisor Dorsey, Supervisor Engardio, and Draco Pinnick, Director of Real Estate. I'm before you this morning seeking your positive recommendation for a purchase and sale agreement to transfer a vacant city-owned parcel to the adjacent property owner for $375,000. The McKinnon property, which is the subject property here today, is a vacant 17-foot wide former railroad spur situated between McKinnon and Newcomb Streets in the industrial area of the Bayview District. The property is the former right-of-way conveyed to the city in 1942 as part of a land exchange agreement, but currently serves no purpose. The real estate division received an unsolicited offer last year from the adjacent property owner to purchase the property at $375,000. The real estate division, or RED, in consultation with the city attorney's office, determined that the property may be conveyed by resolution without advertisement, public auction, or competitive solicitation, which would be impractical, impossible, or not in the public interest. If the property, for example, is incapable of independent development, this is per the Administrative Code Section 23.3. We have determined that this property meets those criteria. The agreement conveys the property to McKinnon Bayview LLC for the fair market appraised value of $375,000, subject to the requirements of the State Surplus Lands Act, or the Act. The Act allows for the exemption of certain property from the implementation of the state procedures when supported by certain findings. The criteria exempting the property from classification as surplus lands under the Act are: one, it is less than half an acre in size, and two, it would be sold to the adjacent property owner. The Act stipulates that once the Board of Supervisors declares the property to be an exempt surplus land as part of the resolution authorizing its disposition, the city could proceed with the land sale. The resolution before you for consideration contains the required findings. That concludes my presentation. I'm available for any questions you may have.
What is Bayview McKinnon LLC going to do with this space or adjacent to it? Do they own? I assume they own the space.
They own the adjacent property. I think they're a metalworks shop.
Mm-hmm. And are they going to remain current use, or do we know what the potential use is going to be?
Their plans, there's a fence between their property and our property, and also a fence on the other side between our property and the other adjacent property. They would remove the fence between our property and their property and expand their operations into that gap. And they do plan to remain in operation.
And sorry, in Bayview, McKinnon LLC is a industrial company, or sorry, you.
Yeah, we could go back to the overview. You can see bordered in yellow the property in question. The McKinnon property, I believe, is the one that's to the north. and then there's another adjacent property owner to the south. A while back, the city did put out an RFP to see if we could lease this property. There were only two respondents to that RFP. One was non-responsive. The other was McKinnon, who wanted to buy the property instead of leasing it. At that time, we weren't considering a disposition, so we rejected that offer.
Yeah, but it seems like without it, without us selling this to them, there, it seems like with this transaction, they can develop it, develop the site for other use.
They can incorporate it into their own property, into their existing property, but it's not developable independent of that. So in other words, a third party that wasn't an adjacent property owner would not be in a position to develop it for any reasonable use. It's just too narrow. It's 17 feet wide.
Right, but yeah. I see. But with this transaction, the fact that we're selling it to them, then it would allow them to develop further.
Yes, it would allow them to expand their operations into this yellow space. Or if I'm gathering your meeting, they could tear down their existing building and then build something much bigger with an additional 17 feet.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. I do understand, you know, if anything, like, this is assessed value. We don't just go to the highest bidder in this case. Thank you. I don't have any other questions, and let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, if we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee regarding this item number two, now is your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comment, public comment is now closed. I do have one last question on this one. Has Supervisor Walton been briefed on this specific sale and agreement?
I don't believe that we've briefed Supervisor Walton directly. We have had conversations with him in the past about the disposition of this property back when we were looking to lease it. We were basically looking to eliminate the nuisance that it creates, encampments, that, you know, dumping, graffiti, that sort of thing. But no, we haven't had any direct conversations with him as to this disposition.
I understand. I'm in support of the sales agreement today. It's understandable. I would like to, you know, move forward with a motion, you know, to full board with positive recommendation. But I would really urge you to please at least give my colleague a heads up, Supervisor Walton, and I would do that for any of my colleagues, frankly, if something were like this to happen in their district, that I would like for them to be aware and that they have always more information. District supervisor always have more information about the community and where they are at than me, you know, and in this body in terms of if it's not in our own district. So I would really encourage you to do so before the vote take place at full board.
That's an excellent point. Now that you've mentioned it, I realize that was an oversight on my part. I'll walk down to his office right after this meeting.
I really would appreciate that. Thank you so much. And with that, I would like to make the motion to move this to full board. Well, I want to say, unless Supervisor Walton at full board has questions. So colleagues, I just want to be clear that I would like to make the motion to move this to full board with recommendation, but pending also conversation potentially from Supervisor Walton. But with that, a roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. With that, Mr. Clerk, please call items three and four together.
Items three and four are resolutions approving and authorizing the Director of Property to execute lease agreements with Bayview Plaza LLC for spaces located at 3801 3rd Street with no annual rent increases, and authorizing the Director of Property to execute any amendments or modifications to the respective leases, including exercising options to extend the agreement term, make certain modifications, and take certain actions that do not materially increase the obligations nor liabilities to the city, do not materially decrease the benefits to the city, and are necessary to effectuate the purposes of their respective leases or resolutions. Item number three is for a term of 3 years, commencing upon approval of the resolution with 1 5-year option for approximately 16,000 square feet of space in suites 200, 205, 210, 220, 230, 235, 240, and 250 at an annual base rent of approximately $526,000. Item four is for a term of 5 years to commence upon approval of that resolution through November 30th, 2029, with 2 5-year options for suite 400 at a base rent of approximately $489,000 per year. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. And again, we have our real estate division here.
Good morning again, Supervisors. Andrico Penick, Director of Real Estate. I'm before you this morning seeking your positive recommendation for a lease renewal on behalf of the Human Services Agency, or HSA, at 3801 3rd Street, Suites 200 through 250. City is tenant. The Bayview Plaza is an 8,000 square foot mixed use retail center with parking built in 1988. The center is the primary service provider for the Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood. The Human Services Agency, or HSA, has occupied these premises since 1988 and currently operates its family and children's services program at the site. The program provides a wide range of services such as foster care, counseling, parent education, child visitation, case management, and other activities that promote the healthy family development and also help prevent child abuse and neglect. This is a lease renewal under the current lease expired in November of 2024 after 5 years. We're currently in month-to-month holdover. The base rent at this time is $40.58 per square foot. That's an annual rate of $647,000. The lease is fully serviced. Under the new agreement, which would start after board approval, mayor approval, and full execution, will be a 3-year term with 1 5-year option to extend at the then fair market value. The base rent is $33 per square foot. You will note that's a significant decrease over the current and prior lease. The annual rate is $526,000. And as in the prior lease, it is fully serviced. That concludes my presentation. I have representatives from HSA and I are also available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you.
If you give me a moment, I will switch to the next presentation.
Sure.
Moving to the screen. This is also a lease renewal, but on behalf of the Department of Public Health, or DPH, at 3801 3rd Street, Suite 400, city as tenant. The Department of Public Health has been a tenant at 3801 3rd Street since 1988 and provides critical functions for the department and the community, including foster care, mental health program, and also the comprehensive crisis response team. The current lease expired in June 30th after a 5-year run. We're currently in month-to-month holdover. The base rent for the prior lease was $38.29 per square foot, which equated to $567,000 annually, and the lease was fully serviced. Under the new lease, we will have a 5-year term with 2 5-year options to extend at the then fair market value. The base rent is $33 per square foot, the same as the prior HSA new lease, which again is also a significant decrease in the prior lease. The annual rent starts at $489,000 annually, and as same as the prior lease, it is fully serviced. We have a representative from the Department of Public Health available, and I am also available to answer your questions. Thank you.
Good morning, Supervisors. Christina Malamut from the BLA. The proposed resolutions would approve two new lease agreements in the Bayview Plaza located at 3801 3rd Street. One is a new lease with DPH for an initial five-year term with 2 5-year options to extend the lease and an initial base rent of $33 per square foot with no annual increases. The other is a new lease with HSA at the same base rent of $33 per square foot with no annual rent increases. However, the term is shorter. It's an initial term of 3 years with 1 5-year option to extend, and that is to align with HSA plans to move child welfare services to a new city-owned site in the Bayview, which can't accommodate the DPH mental health programs located at the site. As shown on page 12 of our report, the total cost of the initial 3-year term for the HSA lease is $1.6 million, and the total cost of the initial 5-year term for the DPH lease is $2.5 million. This is a decrease of $500,000 compared to a 2023 proposed lease for the DPH programs, which we noted was above market rate and did not recommend for approval. We recommend approval of items 3 and 4.
Thank you. Yes, I think we all remember this lease came before us a couple years ago, and I just want to express my gratitude and thank you so much, Director Pinnick, for your work on this and going back to the drawing board. It wasn't easy. There was a bit of conversation, but I really appreciate you coming back, not only with a fair deal for the city and for the landlord, but also I think now we have a long-term plan of where we're heading, and that is with better space and can serve constituents both, you know, living in Bayview or near Bayview and citywide. So I'm really grateful for your effort. I know it's really difficult and it's not easy. So thank you so much for putting the time and resources in putting together these two leases.
Thank you.
So with that, let's go to public comments on these two items.
Yes, we are now opening public comment for these items 3 and 4. If we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee, now is your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to move these two items to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward both resolutions to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey. Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have 3 ayes.
The motion passes. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5. Sorry.
Yes, item number 5 is a resolution retroactively authorizing the acceptance and expenditure of State Transportation Development Act, Article 3, pedestrian and bicycle project funding by the San Francisco Public Works from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission for fiscal years 2021 to 2022, 22 to 23, and 23 to 24, in an amount of approximately $1.4 million for a term of July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2026. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And today we have Department of Public Works here, and we also want to make sure in your presentation you articulated the proposed amendments.
Good morning, Chair Chan, Supervisors Dorsey and Engardio, Clerk of the Board. And my name is Ian Schneider with San Francisco Public Works. Today we are seeking your consideration and approval of a resolution to accept and expend $1,362,816 in the State Transportation Development Act Article 3 funds, which I'll refer to as TDA 3 funds, for pedestrian and bicycle safety improvements. For background, the Transportation Development Act of 1971 earmarked 0.25% of the general sales tax, state sales tax for transit. Article 3 of the TDA apportions 2% of that tax for bicycle facility, pedestrian, street, and road development projects. The Metropolitan Transportation Commission, MTC, then allocates these TDA 3 funds annually to the 9 Bay Area counties in accordance with the sales tax collected in each county. San Francisco Public Works will then submit a claim to the MTC to appropriate these funds. As in the past, San Francisco Public Works proposes to use these funds for two core scopes of work at various locations throughout the city. One, the design and construction of curb ramps, and two, the repair of damaged sidewalks, curbs, gutters, and angular returns. Both scopes align with the goals of the Better Streets Plan and support citywide priorities around accessibility, mobility, and street safety. This resolution covers funds allocated over fiscal years 2021-22, 22-23, and 23-24, with project implementation planned through June 30th, 2027. Resolutions for TDA 3 funds are typically retroactive to match grant eligibility periods, though we acknowledge this particular one comes later than usual in the funding cycle, largely due to a lengthy internal coordination process. We also respectfully request the committee's acceptance of two technical amendments to the resolution. First, to update the grant performance period to July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. And second, to amend the final resolved clause to clarify that San Francisco Public Works will transmit the adopted resolution to the MTC. I'm here with my operational colleagues to answer any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And sorry, did you go over the amendments?
Yep. First amendment is updating the grant performance period from 2023 to 2026 to July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. And then the second amendment is to clarify that our department, Public Works, will transmit the adopted resolution to the Metropolitan Transportation Commission.
Thank you. And I also assume that these amendments are not substantive and that we can move forward today. So with that, let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, if we have any members of the public who have joined us today who wish to address this committee regarding this item number 5, now is your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. And colleagues, I would like to amend this item as proposed by Department of Public Works and move forward the amended item to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion, to accept the amendments as so read to the record by the department, and to forward the resolution to the full board with a positive recommendation as amended. Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio. Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have 3 ayes.
The motion passes. Thank you. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 6.
Yes, item number 6 is a resolution approving the second amendment to the grant agreement between Homeless Prenatal Program and the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to provide rapid rehousing for families through the Supportive Housing Assistance and Readiness Effort Program, extending the term by 4 years from June 30th, 2025 for a total term of July 1st, 2021 through June 30th, 2029, and increasing the agreement amount by approximately $13.8 million for a new total amount not to exceed approximately $22.6 million, and authorizing HSH to enter into any amendments or other modifications to the amendment that do not materially increase the obligations nor liabilities, nor decrease the benefits to the city, and are necessary or advisable to effectuate the purposes of the agreement. Madam Chair.
Thank you, and today we have HSH.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Emily Cohen with the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing. Thank you for making time for us this morning. I am here today with a resolution that would authorize the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to enter into a second amendment to our grant agreement with the Homeless Prenatal Program to administer the Supportive Housing Assistance and Readiness Efforts Program, or SHARE, otherwise known as, which is a family rapid rehousing program. The amendment would extend the agreement by 36 months and move the term out to June 30th, 2028, and increase the not-to-exceed amount by $13.8 million for a new total not to exceed amount of $22.6 million. The amendment includes funding to maintain 32 existing rental subsidies and adds funding for an additional 28 rental subsidies, bringing us to 60 total families that will be able to be served in this program. Through this project, Homeless Prenatal Program will provide a variety of services to the voucher holders, including housing location assistance, housing coordination, landlord liaison, and will administer the subsidy. This is a really successful rapid rehousing program that has been part of our portfolio for a while, and we're really excited about being able to expand expand this to new families. Again, this is a time-limited rental assistance program where families can receive a subsidy for up to 5 years, rent a unit in the private market, and receive ongoing supportive services. In fiscal year 23-24, the program served 39 households, 14 of whom were newly placed during that time. And those households reflect 143 individuals, including 81 children. And really exciting, you'll see the outcome on this slide here. At the end of the fiscal year, during the fiscal year, 20 out of the 21 families who left the program left to permanent housing. So this is an incredibly successful program to get families out of shelter, out of crisis, stabilize them in private housing with ongoing services, and then to graduate into permanency. This project is 100% Prop C funded and really aligns with a lot of the work we're doing to expand housing resources for families, given the incredible demand we're seeing on the system. Whenever I do a presentation on private market housing, rapid rehousing, I always like to put in a plug for landlords. We need every landlord in our community who's interested in on-time rent payments to sign up with us. We are happy to work with them, place families in their units, and provide ongoing support to the landlords as well as to the families. Thank you, and happy to take any questions.
Thank you.
The proposed resolution would approve an amendment to an existing agreement between the Homeless Prenatal Program and HSH for family rapid rehousing subsidies to extend the term by 4 years and increase the not to exceed amount by $13.8 million. As was noted by the department, the proposed amendment maintains those existing subsidies for a minimum of 32 families annually and also adds 28 one-time funded subsidy slots as part of the city's Safer Families plan, which provides subsidies for up to 5 years. The provider is generally meeting service and outcome objectives, except for one related to the average length of time between client referral and move into housing. The agreement has a goal of 75 days or less, and Homeless Prenatal Program took an average of 93 days between referral and move into housing, which is on par with other providers, according to the department. Exhibit 2 on page 19 shows the basis of the not-to-exceed amount, which is funded by Proposition C revenues. The annual budget is increasing in an upcoming fiscal year to accommodate the additional clients funded under the Safer Families program, and then decreases over the next 3 fiscal years as families exit those one-time funded slots. We recommend approval of item 6.
Thank you. We appreciate the work. I agree. We need to make more plugs for private landlords at this time and to see what we can do to keep people housed in San Francisco. So thank you so much for your work on that. Let's go to public comment on this item.
Yes, if we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee regarding this item number 6, that was your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. Oh, wait, I will rescind that.
Okay.
So that.
Good morning, how are you all today? Good. First and foremost, thank you so much for holding this meeting. As Emily stated earlier, this program has proven to be extremely successful. One of the things that I really want to implore, though, is that this program does not only provide housing for the homeless, this program also provides intensive case management, right? So the name of the game is long-term sustainability. We can put families into homes and let them do whatever, but that's not teaching them how to stay housed. So our program, again, not only provides housing for these families, but we are also providing the anticipated management around childcare related, workforce development. We are supporting families with their mental health. We are supporting families to close CPS cases. We are supporting families with fiscal management so that when they leave our program, not only do they know how to take care of their children, not only do they have tools to manage their mental health, not only do they know how to pay bills and work a job, they also know how to maintain their homes. So again, I implore you to continue with this program so that we continue to support these families, not only to remain housed, but for their overall well-being. Thank you so much.
And thank you for addressing this committee. And with that, Madam Chair, that completes our queue.
Thank you. Seeing no more public comments, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to move this item to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. Mr. Clerk, please call items 7 and 8 together.
Yes, item number 7 and 8 are resolutions retroactively authorizing the Department of Public Health to accept and expend monetary gifts from the Epic Systems Corporation, each for a period of July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2025. Item number 7, entitled 2021 Epic for Federally Qualified Health Centers, in the amount of approximately $204,000 to help support federally qualified health centers and their underserved patient populations. Item number 8, entitled 2022 Safety Net Gift, in the amount of $115,000 to help low-income and at-risk populations. Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we have Department of Public Health here.
Good morning, Supervisors. My name is Jeff Scarfia, and I'm the Deputy CIO for DPH. I'm here today to ask your approval to accept two gifts from Epic Systems Corporations. Epic makes electronic medical record software, and they are one of the largest vendors that we use in our DPH IT department. The first gift is in the amount of $204,250, and it is given with the purpose to support federally qualified health centers, or FQHCs. FQHCs are primary care clinics that provide healthcare services to underserved communities, and that's a very strict federal definition. Epic provides these gifts to all of their clients who operate FQHCs. So stressing that this is not unique to the San Francisco Department of Public Health in terms of that gift. The second gift is in the amount of $115,000 and is given with the intent of supporting DPH as a safety net provider, which is generally determined based on the percentage of Medicaid, or in our case, Medi-Cal patients that a hospital serves. Epic, similar to the prior gift, Epic provides gifts to all of their safety net customers. And again, stressing that this is not a unique element to DPH. This is an unrestricted gift that we may use in any fashion that we find befitting of the funds. Lastly, we are asking that these gifts be approved retroactively, as Epic is one of our vendors who has a contract with DPH. We wanted to make sure that we were above board and in compliance with all of the behested payments regulations, so we did take this to the Ethics Commission, City Attorney, as well as the Controller's Office for extensive reviews to ensure that we were compliant with all of those portions. With that, we ask your approval to retroactively accept these items.
Thank you. I think that we had a conversation with COIT when they came before us in front of about really their annual plan. You know, we know that Epic we've been with the city as a system for quite some time. We also know that Epic as a system, it's launching and branching out in some other spaces, not in San Francisco city government and our clinics and healthcare services area just yet. It seems that they are launching and expanding to potential artificial intelligence diagnostic function in their system. So love to learn more should that really becomes part of the conversation in our use with Epic in not just in these two grant, but just in general for the Department of Public Health. So I just want to put that on record. Not for today, I'm in support of these accept and expand grant and would like to move them forward, but just for future, as we know that the 2017 MOU is coming up and expiring, would like to learn more and have more of those conversation and look forward to feedback, having feedback from COI as well. So thank you. With that, let's go to public comments on these two items.
Yes, if we have any members of the public who wish to address this committee regarding these items 7 and 8, now is your opportunity. Madam Chair, we have no speakers.
Seeing no public comments, public comment is now closed. Colleagues, I would like to move these two items to full board with recommendation and a roll call, please.
And on that motion to forward both item numbers 7 and 8 to the full board with a positive recommendation, Vice Chair Dorsey.
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Member Engardio.
Aye.
Engardio, aye. Chair Chan.
Aye.
Chan, aye. We have three ayes.
The motion passes. And Mr. Clerk, do we have any other items before us today?
Madam Chair, that concludes our business.
But we do have our Budget and Appropriation Committee hearing today at starting at 1:30. So we'll see you return at 1:30. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.